From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. On the phone, I have as the second candidate for Los Angeles County Controller to call into the hot seat, John Morris. How are you, Mr. Morris? Thank you very much for taking the time to call into the hot seat this morning.
Oh, sure. I'm doing great. Thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. And I have a lot of important questions and not a lot of time, so without further ado, let's get started. Why are you running for Los Angeles County Assessor, and what experience do you have in property assessments that makes you fit for this position?
Well, I'm running for LA County Property Tax Assessor to protect taxpayers and to stop fraud and corruption at the assessor's office. Unfortunately, our current assessor has been charged with multiple counts of embezzlement, fraud, and bribery. And this election is about honesty, integrity, and leadership. I think the important things that have prepared me for this office are the ability to identify and eliminate fraud, my real estate background, and my prior leadership experience. For real estate background, I have 4 years of real estate law experience, a real estate license. I'm a published author on real estate litigation, and I also was a paid law school real estate tutor. For the ability to identify and eliminate fraud, I've been a criminal prosecutor at the LA County District Attorney's Office for the last 24 years.
You're getting a little ahead of the questions, Mr. Morris. We'll get into all that later. I just wanted to specifically know why you are running and what your qualifications are. So moving on, and this is going to be part of the next answer and in fewer questions, what do you currently do now that makes you believe you are qualified for the position?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm currently a criminal prosecutor at the District Attorney's Office, where I've worked for the last 24 years. Part of my experience here was being the supervisor of one of the largest fraud prosecution divisions in California. And under my leadership, we more than tripled the number of our criminal prosecutions. In addition to that, I am a published author on white-collar crime and criminal fraud, and I've been in leadership positions for the last 14 years.
Is your division the one that's prosecuting Mr. Nogaz, or is another prosecutor's office taking care of that?
Well, the LA County District Attorney's Office is prosecuting Mr. Nogaz. However, I do not have any involvement in that case. I've made sure that I've kept distant from it, because I didn't want to create any legal conflict that could cause my office to have to leave the prosecution to somebody else.
Are you still in charge of the fraud prosecution division?
No, since then I've been transferred and promoted a couple times. I was the head of the healthcare fraud division. In 2013, I was then transferred to supervise the busiest branch of the district attorney's office, which was the Lancaster office. And now I am the head deputy of the parole division, where we handle many different aspects of parole violations and different violations by criminals.
Okay. And in your opinion, why do you believe this office is more important than the office of sheriff?
You know, I don't know if it is. It is more important. I think they are both different branches of government, and they're both very important to us. I mean, the sheriff obviously keeps us safe and provides public safety for us. The assessor's office is also important because it is involved in the funding process for the sheriff's department and every other branch of government. So I can't say whether one is more important than the other. They're both important offices.
Okay. And moving on now, the current assessor, John Nogaz, abused the public trust and is awaiting trial on corruptions for taking campaign donations from a lobbyist. What will you do to bring public trust back to the office of assessor?
Well, first of all, Mr. Nogaz, the corrupt assessor, he took bribes from many people. It wasn't just one person. But I think the important things that we have to look at the assessor's office is that leadership really does need to start at the top. And so currently, John Nogaz is on a paid leave of absence, getting his full salary and benefits, while he's not doing anything at all for the taxpayers. And it's my opponent who negotiated that deal for him. So I think what we need to do is implement a new rule, which I'm going to do on day one when I'm elected, which is that if I or a later assessor cannot serve because of pending criminal charges, we forfeit our salary and benefits. I think that no work should mean no pay unless we have an immediate penalty. There will not be any deterrent effect, and we'll end up possibly with a situation just like we're facing now.
Wouldn't that rule have to be, or wouldn't that ordinance have to be passed by the County Board of Supervisors?
No, I think we need some self-regulation within the assessor's office, and so that's why I'm going to self-impose that rule.
Okay. And how will you change the culture from the top down to make sure this does not happen again?
Well, I think most of the fraud and corruption was because of the corrupt assessor. There were some other members of the office who were involved who have also been charged. But I think, again, leadership starts at the top. So we have to make everybody know that the assessor is going to be held to the highest ethical standards, which is exactly what I've done as a criminal prosecutor for the last 24 years.
And I want you mentioned your office or your relation, your position as criminal prosecutor. Do you believe at all, or would you be willing to use those resources to go after people within the organization if you suspect wrongdoing?
Well, you know, anytime there is any type of public corruption in the assessor's office or anywhere else, it needs to be investigated thoroughly to determine whether or not a crime occurred or not. And it needs to be, if a crime has occurred, it needs to be provided to the prosecuting agencies, either the city attorney's office or the district attorney's office. And we can't have corruption in government, and that's why I think it's important we have someone in office who does have experience identifying and eliminating fraud.
Okay. And how will you be able to let employees know that this type of behavior is unacceptable, that referring to the Mr. Noguez's behavior?
No, we're going to fully, when I get in there, I'll make sure that we have full cooperation with the district attorney's office so they can complete their investigation. And if there are further charges that need to be filed against Mr. Noguez, then they can be filed.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And we'll be back at the tail end of the music break, at which time I will be asking Mr. Morris about what he plans to do if elected. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Max Schwartz. This is The Hot Seat. I'm back here with John Morris on the phone, who's running for Los Angeles County Tax Assessor. So, Mr. Morris, if you are elected, how will you use your pull as assessor of the country's largest county by population to influence legislation?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And the LA County Assessor's Office is the largest assessor's office in California and one of the largest tax-related agencies in the United States. I think the first thing that the elected assessor needs to do is to help educate the electorate and all the voters about the assessor's office, about taxes, and about property assessments. Because too often when I'm out campaigning, I find that people really do not understand the process because it can be complicated. So we need people to know that about not only the current law, but also about past laws that were passed, such as Proposition 13. And often people don't know that it protects us from an unethical assessor. So I'm going to spread the word by using the website to provide information.
You're deviating from the question, Mr. Morris. I'm specifically asking, what will you do to influence, I guess, new legislation or pending legislation?
Oh, well, we have to make sure that we educate everybody, including legislators. And we'll use that by doing that by the website, by public speaking, and also by articles.
Okay, and I want to move into Prop 13 now because I've got a few minutes. So currently, Prop 13 allows for multiple loopholes in the law when remodeling or transferring property. Would you encourage the legislature to amend this law or at least ask them to put it on the ballot for public input?
First of all, I need you to define what you mean by loopholes.
Well, I know that there are certain instances that there are when you're transferring property or in commercial property, if an LLC is formed, then you avoid reassessment of property taxes because it's not a sale, it's a transfer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, in that situation, it's going to depend on whether or not there's a fraudulent transfer or not. Because every time people talk about loopholes, if it involves increasing taxes on homeowners or businesses, we got to really look closely at that because the cost of living here in Los Angeles is much the highest in the nation. If we're going to start increasing taxes, that means we're going to make things even more expensive for the people living here.
Would you be for a greater tax on commercial properties?
No, you know, right now businesses already have high taxes in many areas. Unfortunately, as we keep increasing taxes, more and more businesses are leaving California, which is a terrible problem because they take their tax revenues with them, and also they take jobs with them. And for you and other students at USC who are going to be looking for jobs in the next couple of years, we really have to be careful when we're enacting laws that actually drive jobs out of the state, because it will make it more difficult for you and other students to get employed and also pay off their student debts. So before we start raising taxes, I don't know if that's the solution. You know, we can raise revenues in other ways. Raising taxes has a deterrent effect.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Mr. Morrison. Thank you very much for calling into the Hot Seat today. It was a pleasure. The Hot Seat After Hours starts right now. You can email the Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. You can subscribe to the Hot Seat newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to annenbergradio.org/podcast and click on the link underneath the Hot Seat's description and enter your email address. The Hot Seat will be back after the election, which is next week, November 4th. Remember, the polls will be open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. If you realize on Tuesday that you forgot to mail your absentee ballot, you can drop it off at a polling station. It will be considered a provisional ballot, but casting a provisional ballot is better than not voting at all. So remember to vote. It is your civic duty, and it is your opportunity to have a say in our government. If you're not informed, try to make yourself informed and then go to the polls. Good day.